Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Andy Robertson says Lyndon Dykes can still play his part in Germany despite an injury keeping him out of action. Is Tommy Conway edging closer to a Scotland call-up? And Robbie McCrory sets his sights on leaving Rangers. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller.
Yeah, it was obviously second last game before the Euros, prep game last night. Pretty uninspiring for me, to be honest with you. But what it did do, it got minutes in the legs, there was a clean sheet, and it stopped the rot. You know, it was a long run without a win, which wasn't great going into this big game next Friday, but stopped the rot, got the win, and I said, some much-needed minutes in the legs of some of the players.
Yeah, I mean, you can see that, you know, the cobwebs had to be blown a little bit. Some of the players definitely needed the game. As Kenny said, it wasn't, you know, most inspiring performance, but it was vital just to get a win again. A clean sheet is always important, no matter the opposition or the quality of the opposition. A couple of goals and just get back and winning track again. The Finland game will be a stiffer test, there's no doubt about that, but that's really what you want. You want to just gradually step it up. I wouldn't be too despondent about the performance, because ultimately it's about you know, getting yourself prepared, and just gives you know, Stevie Clark one or two little options to think about, particularly in the striking department. We know with Lyndon Dykes being injured, that's throwing a bit of a spanner at the works, so that's still to be resolved.
Yeah, is the important thing now, Kenny, just ramping it up perfectly for that big send-off at Hampden on Friday night?
Well, I think, I mean, you look at the game last night, very little crowd, you know, it did have a pre-season feel about it, or end of the season game about it, but it was... it'll be completely different Friday night. You know, it'll be probably more looking like the team that may play the following week against Germany. There'll be a full house there at Hampden cheering the team on, and it'll just be a better energy about the whole thing, and you'd expect the players then to kind of put a better performance in. Again, it is last chance for anybody who may step on the field, who maybe just question their place on that plane. You know, it's a last chance to kind of show in the last few training sessions, and then obviously... I mean, the squad needs to be named on the Friday anyway, so the squad will be named before the game, but there's still a few questions to ask. The goalkeeping scenario is still there, and it's, I think after last night for me, when you looked at the bench and the players that were available, when it was a game that was just lacking a bit of energy and maybe a bit of quality, when you looked at the bench, there wasn't a lot of attacking players on that bench to bring on, so that might have been something that Steve could see from it, that maybe Lyndon Dykes' position needs to be filled by another attacking player and not just kind of rolling with what he's actually got at his disposal at this moment.
After a winless run, what can it do for Steve Clark and what can it do for the players just to get a win on the board heading into that game against Finland, and then hopefully another going into the game against Germany?
Yeah, well, it stops the media talking. I mean, you know yourself, Andrew, every time that, you know, there's another game, if you haven't done so well, if you haven't won, then those stats are obviously the first thing that people bring to you and highlight. So, you know, a degree of positivity in terms of when I think the game is specifically targeted Gibraltar. You know, we've got to be winning that type of game. But as Kenny said, you know, when you don't have atmosphere, you know, the game does become a little bit flat. There are one or two things to still look at. The manager knows that himself, whether it's a goalkeeping situation, whether it's the right back area, as we know, is something that he's still got to consider. The striking area now, which has came up, which he didn't anticipate, and then just getting the balance right of the team, you know, of how he would approach it. It'll be completely different against Finland, and then completely different again against Germany. You're going from Gibraltar to Germany in the space of a couple of weeks. That is light years away in terms of quality, so it's difficult to prepare for that, because, you know, against Gibraltar you're going to dominate the game. Against Germany you won't be dominating the game, so you've got a whole different game plan to prepare for. So ultimately, Stevie's job is to get his players up to speed, put some of his views there, see how much of that they can take on board, but also with the proviso that it'll be, as I say, a different proposition when they play the hosts in June the 14th.
Well, that's a taste of what Jim and Kenny think, but what do you think? 0141 951 1025. What did we learn from that game against Gibraltar? What did you like? What did you maybe not like from that 2-0 victory yesterday? The striking options is still a big one. Lyndon Dykes is out, of course, so who replaces him? Does someone come in to replace him? What decision should Steve Clarke make going into that? Maybe it's domestic matters that are on your mind. Maybe you want to talk about your club and transfers. We're here for you as well. 0141 951 1025. And just an extra incentive as well. Everyone that calls in tonight and gets on the show goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets for the club badges to the Unite Scotland Summer Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on the 22nd of June. It'll be a great day out, so you can come on, make your point, and get on to the draw for that as well. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Kenny, you said you weren't overly inspired by it. Do you see why that type of friendly was picked, or are you a bit surprised that that was the game that the SFA decided to go for just, you know, a couple of weeks out from Germany?
Well, listen, it has been picked a way back, you know, so even before this kind of run of seven games without a win, so you could see why you would want to either rebuild momentum or continue momentum with that type of fixture. I just look at, again, the positives we've went through in terms of the minutes, the result, the clean sheet. But again, I just think the performance is going to be completely different, like Jim says, is what it's going to be next week. I think his team showed in the Netherlands game that you can still control long spells of games if you're brave and you got on the ball. And we've got players that can do that. Like, say, Billy Gilmore's, Callum McGregor's, McTominay's in the midfield, a really key area, our strongest area of our team. They want to be on the ball. They don't want to just be constantly chasing. So I think even against Germany, that will be a big part of it. And it'll be really intriguing to see Steve's team selection that. But that game last night for me, it was the one. You know, it was the one to stop it. Was it picked for that particular reason? I'm sure Steve would have liked to have won the Northern Ireland game, you know, or even the Georgia game or the Norway game at the end of the qualification group. But as it so happened, we're seven games without a win. We're going to Gibraltar. And it wasn't a great game. Dominant, absolutely. I think even within it, I'm trying to think of, like, I thought, like, it's a really good game for Lauren Shankland. Could he go and get a couple of goals going into it and maybe put himself forward and never
win
that way?
Is that the thing
way
as a striker when you're coming up against a lesser nation like a Gibraltar that back of your mind, in the front of your mind, you'll be thinking, you know what, I want to go out and impress. I want to go, I could score one, two, maybe three in a game like this.
Well, I would actually expected Lauren Shankland to get at least a couple of goals last night just because he's a goal scorer. There was always going to be, all the action was going to be in that area of the pitch. You would expect him to be on the end of a few chances. As it so happened, he actually probably wasn't on the end of the majority of the chances. There was, it felt like, Lexi Christie's and Forrest. Even Grant Hanley had so many opportunities in the first half. So it was, it had a couple of week and a half sniffs that he maybe could have done a little bit better with, but definitely going into that game, that would have been at the forefront of his mind. You know, this could be a chance maybe just to edge ahead. Lyndon Dykes is out now, and it's such a shame for him that he's going to be missing out. But as it stands, there's Sherrams and there's Lauren Shankland going to be going head to head for that number nine role for that big opener next week. And that was maybe a wee chance for him to go and get a couple of goals.
Yeah, and
put himself in front.
Yeah, well, definitely an opportunity for Lawrence here. But you know, there wasn't glaring chances. We didn't cut them open in terms of here, stick one in front of the goal and stick it in the back of the net. So you need that creativity, and I think we lacked a little bit of creativity.
That's where I was a bit disappointed though, Jim, yeah. You know, because we've got really, really good players and I fully believe that. We had, so I think it was 18 to or 20 opportunities in the first half. But I can't remember us really creating. There was the one where Andy Robertson cut it for James Forrest. I thought that was a really good chance. The best chance was probably Grant Hanley, but that was for a corner. So in terms of that creative edge, I think we lacked that against lesser opposition. But we were actually far more creative, and there was more energy and a lot more urgency to our play against Holland. Then we actually created quite a lot of a good number of chances for really good play. So that was a wee side that I was a bit disappointed at last night, particularly against that level of opposition.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. That is the number that Dean has dialed. Dean, what did you take away from that game last night?
How are you all doing, first of all?
Good thank you.
Good, Dean.
First of all, that was not good. It was not a good performance. We may have got the two goals, but it's way far from what we've seen in the qualifying stages for Scotland. First of all, you're not gonna get that much chances that we had against that type of team in the Euros. First of all, yeah, we've got Germany, then we've got Hungary. Like, I don't think we'll get enough chances against them.
Yeah, I mean, is that what is quite surprising maybe in the choice of friendly, that it is just a completely different game from what we're going to see at the Euros? It's maybe not all about that. I know it's about getting minutes in the legs for some players and about getting a result, but it's not the type of challenge at all. None of the three teams that Scotland are coming up against are going to sit in, and you're going to have to try and break them down, or does that even matter?
No, I don't have a problem with the game. You know, as Kenny mentioned, it's been selected a while ago, but the game, I think, was specific. There's a lot of players who haven't maybe played for a while, for a few weeks. So there is a bit of rustiness there, and you know, you just don't snap your fingers. There is a lack of atmosphere. It is played like a, you know, in a friendly type of thing. You know, when you don't have a big crowd and you don't have the level of opposition where you need to beat your very best to win. I mean, Kenny knows a lot more about it than I do, having played at that level and having experienced some of these type of games. And sometimes the pace does drop. So I've not got an issue with selecting Gibraltar for that game. Dean was saying, yeah, you will be up against better opposition, but usually when you're up against better quality, your standards are lifted. You know, the intensity is there. You know that your concentration levels, all these things are much higher because they have to be, and the players will go into that game. This is about building preparation and getting yourself up to speed before these games come up. So to me, I would be almost dismissing the game as an exercise in preparation. That's exactly what it was. Just is it getting the legs going again, getting just back playing football again, getting to know each other, you know, putting some new players together or whatever Stevie was doing, just one or two little things he was trying. So I've got no issue with that. The Finland game might be slightly different again because there'll be a big crowd there, but a different atmosphere, but a different adrenaline. It will be the last chance to impress if you do want to be in Steve's thoughts for a starting berth against Germany. So I think it will be a different type of performance, even though it'll be tougher opposition. So no, I've got no real kind of concern about it. I think it's a game you kind of write off for the reasons. The game is set for the reasons of the preparation, and I think it done that, even though a very low-key level.
That final warm-up game against Finland on Friday, Dean, is there anything different you'd like to see Steve Clarke do for that one?
I mean, I'd like to see Ben Doak play, because we all know how good he is on the ball, like dribbling past players. I'd love to see him try have a shot against the Finnish back line now.
Yeah, the fact he wasn't on the bench suggests that he's probably not going to come in and start on Friday night, but would you expect him to get some sort of game time on Friday?
Listen, I think it all depends on where he's actually at in terms of training. I don't think he's played since December.
No, I mean, Steve Clarke has said that he sort of expects everyone. I think he said last week that he expected everyone to be fit enough to, you know,
participate in some part of the game.
Something crazy didn't happen, like the Lyndon Dykes injury. Yeah. He expected, you know, everyone to be fit for at least the second game of the two this week. So well, you'd expect that he should be available.
I think I'm hearing Armstrong might not be in that position, to be fair. And at this moment, I don't know where Ben Doak's at with his training. I would love to see him, by the way. Firstly, I would love to see him get a debut on, or I don't think he would start, like you say. It's a bit maybe soon to throw him in, considering he's not played since December, but I would love to see him get a wee run out for 50 minutes, because, be honest, that's why he's there. You know, he's got an impact that there's nobody else in our game that, or in that squad, that could make, in terms of his pace, his movement, his power, how direct he is. He's 18, or he's got that no fear. You know, he's going to be relishing any moment that he gets to get on that pitch. And I think with that is going to come with a real, real threat. By the way, a lot of the guys that might come up against might not even know who he is or what his threat is, what kind of strengths he's got. So I would love to see him, and I think that will be his role. Whether he's going to be fit enough to play or not, I'm not sure. Just to go back on kind of one of Dean's kind of previous points, I think Steve's bemoaned the fact that against the Netherlands, the amount of chance we had, we need to be more ruthless, we need to be more clinical, particularly in these group stages against three good teams, that when it's not going to be six, seven, eight chances, there might be one, might be two. We need to be really, really clinical, and maybe we're saving them up for the group stages of the Euros, because we've missed an incredible amount of opportunities in that game last night, and even going back to a really tough test against the Netherlands. And again, even going back to the game there, our tests in terms of what we're going to face were the France friendly, the England friendly. We had Spain thrown in there, the Holland thrown there. That's the kind of levels that we're going to be up against. So again, it wasn't much of the game that was last night, because again, it was an exercise, like Jim says. It was just within it, I just thought we could have been a little bit better.
Dean, with Lauren Shanklin starting the game, Shea Adams coming on, he got himself a goal. Do you think Steve Clarke learned more about who's maybe going to be his number nine in Germany?
I mean, yeah, I don't like it, but both of them for Scotland have been a liability for these past like three or two games. Maybe Shanklin is better in my opinion, because he's scored more goals. And Shea Adams, I don't like him one bit. My granddad doesn't like him one bit. Like, we all don't like him because he misses so many chances. Like Lyndon Dykes. Lyndon Dykes is one of the reasons why I was so happy that he got injured. But
no, you can't be saying that.
No, I mean, it's unfair, Dean. I mean, and the thing is, about Lyndon Dykes as well, it's, you know, I think everyone apart from Dean obviously feels bad for Lyndon Dykes. Such a huge opportunity this summer that he's missing out. And we obviously wish him all the best in his recovery. But Lyndon Dykes' game, and Steve Clarke has said it, that it's not necessarily about scoring goals and being the main goal scorer on the team. And we've seen what Lyndon Dykes is able to do in bringing guys like John McGinn, like Scott McTominay, guys that have been top goal scorers in, you know, the last couple of qualification campaigns for Scotland from midfield. He's a big part in bringing the midfield into play. Is it maybe more focusing on just more about whether the striker can put the ball in the back of the net, they can offer the team in general?
Sometimes we look at the basics, Andrew, but again, the style of play, the balance of play, the creativity, as Kenny mentioned, we know what we're lacking. We know we don't have a natural, prolific top. We don't have a Harry Kane, right? We don't have anyone close to that level. We understand that. So what we've got to do is we've then got to try and get the balance right to create space for the likes of McTominay, McGinn at the very start of the last campaign, McTominay this campaign. So Christie last night scoring the goal. You know, sometimes you need players that are unselfish, that will go and create space or movement or draw the defenders towards them, maybe take two defenders, occupy them, that leaves space for other players. Set plays will be important, as Kenny mentioned there. We know that, because we're not a prolific goal scoring team. We understand all of these aspects of our team. We're not trying to be cruel, but we're just being honest with ourselves. We know our strengths, we know our weaknesses, but what we do have really good strong midfield players. We can score goals from different areas. And Lyndon Dykes was pivotal in that. So, yeah, we know he's, I mean, as Dean, you know, we'd mentioned there, we know he's not like, as I said, the very, very top level, but he's been very, very instrumental and pivotal to the way Steve Clarke wants to play. I think Shea Adams might get the nod at this moment in time because, again, of the type of striker he is and how he occupies defenders, and that, as I said, allows Stevie to get the balance of the way he would like to set up the team. So that's the reason why I think he might get the nod over Lauren Shanklin. Lauren Shanklin's a better goal scorer, but Shea Adams is a different type of striker, a different type of player, links up the play different, occupies defenders different, creates space, and I think that's the reason why I personally think he might get the nod for Germany in the first game.
Well, thank you to Dean. He is in the draw for that pair of tickets with club badges to the Unite Scotland Summer Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on the 22nd of June. Remember, every caller that gets on air and makes a point is in the draw for that. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. And just before the break, let me tell you about this. Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be live in Germany thanks to UK Debt Expert. There's over 100,000 Tartan Army members heading over for the tournament, and they've actually helped more than double that. UK Debt Expert have helped over 250,000 people deal with 45,000 deal with debt, and 45,000 of those are right here in Scotland. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheese steaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And you can get involved as well, 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's hear a bit from Scotland captain Andy Robertson, shall we? He's been speaking today after that 2-0 win over Gibraltar last night. He thinks it was a worthwhile exercise. He says it's important they now kick on against Finland on Friday and get their confidence as high as possible heading into Germany.
Last night was a good thing for us to get back to winning ways, to get that confidence, to get back to playing together and things like that, to get people minutes on the pitch. So it was a worthy exercise. And then, you know, Friday I think will be a bit tougher task, and it'll be perfect for us to step it up again, and then, you know, full focus on the Germany game. And, you know, once we're over there, it'll be a fantastic occasion for all of us involved, and, you know, we're just looking forward to it now. You know, the first half of the campaign was exceptional, and then we took a little drop. Of course we did. We played some tough friendlies against some really good nations, and maybe that knocked our confidence a little bit, and maybe that's, you know, we're winning the games and things, and maybe that suffered a wee bit with the last two qualifiers. But we were already qualified as well. You know, teams know how difficult it is when you've maybe already won the league or you've already qualified for certain tournaments and things like that, that, you know, it's difficult. So we need to get back to it. Obviously March was disappointing, but last night was good that we got the win. I know we were expected to, and I know it would have been a disaster if we didn't, but we managed to get the win. And then, you know, hopefully we build the momentum again on Friday with another win and another good performance. And if we do that, then, you know, the confidence will be back among the squad. You know, we don't lack confidence. A lot of lads have had really good seasons at clubs, and it's just about taking that forward and also going back to basics, going back to what we did in the first part of the campaign, which was so successful. And if we do that, I think we can give anyone a game on the day.
Yeah, Andy Robertson talking there about, you know, the start of the campaign, where it was going brilliantly, the win against Spain, the win against Norway, everything was looking great. This Scotland squad know what they're capable of, so is it natural that they do have that confidence? They know that they can go and they can cause teams problems. They just need to get a bit of momentum going into the tournament.
Yeah, and sometimes you need a break. Like, I think we did get a little bit of breaks over the last kind of couple of qualifying campaigns to actually get to the Euros, but we had a long spell without breaks. You know, maybe over these last few games things have just went against us, but there's no doubt there's real quality within that team. You know, Andy's talking about it there, that they've had wonderful results and performances, by the way, against some really, really good teams over the last three or four seasons. So it's just about kind of regaining that, you know, and maybe a result like that last night, as much as, like you say, it wasn't the greatest game, there was a lot of chances missed, but it was a win, you know, and maybe that's all you needed, just to kind of get back on the horse, get back to winning ways. And again, the team can go and win on Friday night. There's no doubt about that against a Finland team that it will be a far tougher test, but I expect the team to rise to the occasion more on Friday night with the crowd, with the atmosphere, and with what's actually coming next week. So there's no doubt they can, like Andy says, on their day, if they perform and they get a wee bit of rub of the green, they can trouble any team, and include Germany in this. But looking forward into the next two games, I definitely think it's a fair matchup against the likes of Hungary and Switzerland.
Us mere mortals that never played football, the concept of confidence when it comes to football and how big it can be for players, just how big can it be for this squad if they do go in with their tails up, rather than, you know, on that winless run that Scotland were on, and maybe not feeling as good about themselves as they once were. If they go into that Germany game off the back of a couple of wins, they play well on Friday night, everything goes well, can that make a big difference?
Well, it can make a difference in terms of getting into the game a little bit calmer, a little bit more relaxed. You know, whether it's social media or whether it's media in general, you know, you don't want to be too much criticism coming towards you getting these games, then having to try and prove a point all the time. You know, I think that's when you see a lot of players scoring goals, giving it the shush sign or the cup in the ears, is generally to the criticism that they're doing these things to, because players are fully aware of it. Sometimes they say, I don't read something, or I'm not on that, but when you see them doing that, you realise they are aware of it. They're only human. They're under, you know, and they live in the modern era where all of this information is getting relayed to them. So I think it's more getting into the game relaxed. Actually, I think we're always better as underdogs, and as far as you know, although we know we're not in the last pot, I still think we get into all these games as underdogs, really, in the sense of the opposition. I think Hungary will look at Scotland and think, well, we're better than them. Switzerland and we're better than them. Germany, of course, we'll do it. So I think Scotland will have to, you know, make sure that they roll the sleeves up and prove to the opposition more than anything else that we are capable of matching or bettering you on the day. And I think that's when we're at our best, when we realise the opposition think, nah, Scotland, we'll turn you over. So that's the reason why I'm a little bit more optimistic than I have been in previous campaigns, even though we've only been one recently. But I still think that we've got the quality in the key area, which is midfield. Kenny mentioned Gilmour, McTominay, McGinn, McGregor. There's, you know, whether it's Armstrong, whether it's Christie, you know, these are, you, we're strong in that area. We're weak in the striking area. We understand that. Stevie's got to get his tactics right, balance right, set plays. Does he go three at the back? Does he go four at the back? All of those things has got to be decided. Does he change it for the, depending on the opposition? But ultimately, I think if we can dominate the ball a little bit more, which I think we're capable of doing, brave enough to go and try it, then I think we can qualify through the section. The friendly coming up here will give us a bit of a gauge of how he approaches the first game. I don't think it will give us too much of a gauge for the Hungary and Switzerland game. I think they'll be on their own merits, those two games.
01419511025 to get involved. Ricky is in Easterhouse. Ricky, what did you take away from the game last night?
Well, it was not so much about the game last night. It was about the first call I've been. He doesn't like Shea Adams. Well, fine, that's an opinion. But he was glad that Lyndon Dykes was injured. You don't do that. I mean, if you're a Scotland fan, you want your best players there. Now, maybe our strikers are no fantastic at scoring goals, but they do a lot more. And that's why they and the rest of the squad have got to stay where we are. And I'm sure Stevie Clark would be the first to say, I wanted Lyndon Dykes in my squad, because he would have had a plan for Lyndon Dykes up front, which he's used before. And I'm sure that's a downside of yours going there without him. So I don't see where Scotland fans are quite happy about Scotland players being injured and out of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put that to the guys, because Lyndon Dykes has started some big games for Scotland, had some big performances for Scotland in games that Scotland have done well in. So I'm sure Steve Clarke and I'm sure his teammates, because he's a well-liked character in the dressing room, will be bitterly disappointed for him.
I think it was Andy Robertson who was only talking about it after the game last night, how important he might still be to the squad in terms of being around them. And
I'll tell you what, we can hear that clip right now. Actually, he was speaking to Sky Sports earlier on today. He says the whole squad have felt the impact of Lyndon Dykes' injury, however he thinks he can still play a big part because he's planning on travelling with the squad to Germany.
Losing Lyndon was a tough one for all of us. I think it's made us all a bit we just want to get to Germany now. When you see one of your friends kind of, you know, fall in a kind of strange way on the pitch and things like that, it's a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a tough one for the squad. Of course it is, and everyone has that in the back of the mind. But to be fair to the big man, he's keen to come with us. He wants to be involved. He doesn't want to miss out. His family are all still booked. Spoke to his wife when she was in the hotel as well, and she's still determined on coming. And it's great. You know, it's great for us because Lyndon's a big part of what we do. He's a big part off the field as well. And although he can't contribute on the field, he can contribute off it. And if the big man's want to do that, then it's happy days for us, because like I said, he's a massive part of our squad. So delighted that he's going to come with us. But like I said, it had to be his own choice. It had to be, you know, we wouldn't have forced him if he was, you know, his headspace wasn't right. But he's managed to get it over a lot quicker than I would. And, you know, fair play to him for that. And yeah, like I said, delighted that he's coming with us. I'd love him to be on the pitch, but the next best thing is off the pitch with us.
Ricky, is that good to hear that Lyndon Dykes will still be travelling with the squad? He's clearly well-liked amongst his peers. Can that be a bonus, do you think, for the team, just having him around the place?
Well, as Andy says there, it takes about a time to get here, that the disappointment. Now, if the guys get here, that disappointment, then that would give the squad an uplift. He's gone there. He's no, when, well, I'm just going to just go and sulk. I'm going. I'll be there with you. And that's a great thing. Because that's what you need. You need people behind the team, no against the team. We need you all behind the team. Listen, we've got a tough group. We'll just go and see what we can do. I personally think we'll be able to beat Switzerland, because they don't score a lot of goals. They're very, very hard to break down, but I think we can do them. So I'm looking forward to it.
Can having Lyndon Dykes in and around the Scotland camp, can that be an extra motivation maybe for some of the players, just to see what's happened to him and think, you know what, we want to go out and give that extra few percent for him who can't be out on the pitch along with us?
No, I don't think that would make any difference, Andrew. I think that's the kind of, like, you know, the fairy tale way of looking at it. You know, people say they want, I think after you win things, sometimes players will say, oh, well, you know, that Lyndon helped, or they may want to make him feel part of it. But I think the devastation for the player, as Andy Robertson said, he said himself, said it might not be me who wanted to go, because everybody reacts differently. So, but he's maybe thinking, oh, I still want to be around the guys. And that's thing that, you know, it's been mentioned several times since Steve Clarke took over, that he's developed this club culture in there, you know, this harmony within the players. They all enjoy being around each other. That's hard to do in international camps. I mean, Kenny knows it, but we've had some terrific players over the years, and no disrespect, maybe better than some of the guys that are there now in terms of the front area. I've got one sitting next to me just now, Kenny Miller, James McFadden, who didn't get into the European qualification or World Cup, and terrific players. So we've had different players at different times, different teams. Everyone's got their opinion who was better or not, but ultimately didn't qualify. So we have to support this team. This team have qualified for two tournaments now, you know, obviously in England and now in Germany, and against tough opposition. Yeah, there's been little drop-offs here and there. We've had one or two bits of good fortune, as Kenny mentioned, but for 20 years or no, you know, we were so unlucky. We were in unbelievably tough groups. You know, we were a fraction away from qualifying a couple of times. So, you know, I think that, you know, everyone should be getting behind the team now and looking forward to it. Imagine if we're not there. You know, all of a sudden we're sitting watching all the other teams, and we're again that frustration of not qualifying. So I think it's brilliant that we're there, and I think it's important everyone gets behind every player, whether it's your favourite player or not your favourite player. Those players have done a magnificent job in getting us there, and you know, deserve the full support of the nation.
So what's the solution, Ricky? If Lyndon Dykes was going to be the player that was going to start for Steve Clarke over in Germany in that number 9 role, where do you see him going next? Last night's game, you know, prove anything either way about who should be the number 9 for Scotland over there?
Well, I think he'll start with Shea Adams, because before Shanklin came into the squad, it was either him or Shea. So I think he'll start with Shea Adams and maybe bring Shanklin on later on. Shea Adams can hold the ball up. I know Shanklin's good at holding the ball up in the Premier League, but this is a wee bit step up. You're talking about class players you're playing against every game. So I think Shea Adams,
it still will be a step up for Shea Adams playing, coming from English Championship football as well.
Yeah, but he's done it before in the qualifying groups. Shanklin hasn't been there, so I think he'll fall back on Shea Adams, because he's done it in the qualifying groups and the last tournament.
Do you go with that logic, Kenny, or do you think Steve Clarke's maybe still making up his mind at the moment?
No, I think Shea Adams will play. I think even before last night, you know, I would that's why going into last night's game, I think it would have taken an incredible, it might have taken a hat-trick, and it might still not have played by the way, Lawrence. I just think going into this game against Germany, if you had his three strikers, his three first-choice strikers in Dykes, Shea Adams and Lawrence Shanklin, they all can bring something different. Now Dykes is gone, there's no doubt Adams plays, particularly against Germany, because I think a lot of the game will probably be more against the ball. I think Shea Adams, he can run quicker, he can press harder, you know, he's more mobile than Shankland. I think those types of qualities might be more suited for that game.
If there's a guy who knows to talk about playing as a lone striker against a top quality opposition, it's Kenny Miller. I mean, he's done it often enough for Scotland, you know, playing against fantastic teams and having to basically work a back four on his own at times. You know, I mean, I watched him. Was that many of the games that he played in? And, phenomenal attitude and performance, but mentality, you need a different mentality. That's the reason why I think that Shea Adams, a little bit like Ricky's saying there, he's got a little bit more experience of playing that. I think Lauren Shacklin's a terrific player. All-round game has been great, but going and hounding and pressing and having and knowing when to take that breather, how to take that breather when you've not got the ball, Kenny could tell him, you know, how to do it and when to do it, because there is an actual art to that. There is a part of being a striker that you can't just constantly do it, as fit as you are, as enthusiastic you are. You can't do it for 90 minutes. It's impossible. You have to know when and the triggers for it. When I get back to you, I don't know how, Kenny, how did you approach that when it came to that? I know Walter Smith and these kind of guys were giving information, but you had to learn that.
Obviously. No, you do, but again, that also, like Ricky's saying, it comes with experience in that level of opposition and when you, like you say, when you need to go. Then another thing for Shea Adams is, even like in terms of like chasing these kind of lost causes, that again, as a lone striker, particularly for Scotland, you need to do. You need to try and get something out of nothing. You know, it might be a throw on or you buy a corner or something. That I think when you've got that kind of more running power, which is what Shea Adams does have, he definitely has that as an edge on Lauren Shanklin. I think for this game against Germany, that defo probably just gives him the edge in relation. And like you say, his caps and his experiences and the goals that he's already scored for the team and how big an impact he's made over the campaigns. I think it does just purely like his running power, how quickly he can actually do it. I think that just gives him an edge for this Germany game.
Well, thank you to Ricky, 01419511025, for more of your calls after the break. But let me tell you about this first.
Clyde One. Win £250,000.
Yes, after Nick won £250,000 on Friday, we've got another chance for you to win £250,000 right now. That's right, this Friday we'll be making another call and someone will win that cash. So if you want it to be you, then you need to get involved. Entries reset after Nick won, so it's a whole new competition. Get your place in the draw now and you could be winning £250,000. Text YES to 61025, text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at clyde1.com. Online entries are £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate, over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are on our website. When entry lines shut at 5pm this Friday, we could be calling you. If we do, just answer and £250,000 is yours. There's no phrase that you need to say, there's no amount to remember, there's no need to pick up in five rings. All you need to do is just pick up and you win £250,000. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £250,000.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025 if you want to get involved, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. We do have a tweet here from Connell. I won't read his full name because it's one of these names where he's trying to catch me out and read it out on air when it's something a bit cheeky, but we'll go with Connell for now. He says, somebody tell Miller and Duff it's summer. Let's see some Hawaiian shirts instead of going for the safe black. To be fair, I'm also in on this as well.
Well, I'm Navy and it's raining day. So
and I'm Navy as well.
That is true. It was hammering down with rain.
I had a t-shirt on, but when I came out, it was pouring the rain, so I put a jumper on.
Yeah, there we go. Maybe so next week.
Connell, maybe Connell's lying in a beach somewhere. Maybe that's what he thinks.
His name's definitely not Connell as well, but we'll leave that one there. 01419511025. Let's speak to Stevie, who's in Craig End. Stevie, what have you got for us tonight?
Just obviously a game, mate. I mean, I can't wait for next week. I'm going to the Finland game. But I say to the producer there, I think the last 25, 30 minutes, the team that's thrown the park will be the team that starts against Finland. And I watched the Germany-Ukraine game last night, Kenny. Obviously, I coach football, mate. And I think that was the team they wanted to play to prepare for playing a team like us. And they couldn't get going. Gundogan just kept, every time he tried to connect with somebody, they just couldn't find each other where they could. Ukraine frustrated them, stopped a lot of their play, the flow of the play. I think it frustrated them. And I think that's why Steve's going to do next week. Obviously, I agree with you, Kenny. I think Shea Adams, I watched the game last night, will start against them. But he's got to put Craig Gordon in goals. So I mean, I don't care what anybody says, he's got to put him in there. But I just think
not Angus Gunn, Stevie, no?
No, I mean, I watch Norwich every week, Andrew, and he let in a goal that my 11-year-old grandson, who plays in goals, would have saved. And I'm sitting going,
Get him in, Stevie.
don't tempt me, Kenny. There'll be people shouting at the radio, and who's shut up? I don't mean... But I'm just saying, I think next week, again, when you're playing tournament football, you might have played a big team early on. You don't want to play them game three. Play them game one, see what you get out of it, and it might give you something to build on. But I think he's going to be smart enough in the game on Friday and give the boys that are going to start, the team in his head is going to start, a wee 15, 20 minute head start on next week.
Would it concern you, Stevie, when you look at the fact that, you know, Craig Gordon was out injured for over a year? He did come back in January, but he's only made 7 appearances in, what would that be now, a year and a half? 7 appearances in a year and a half?
It doesn't matter, mate. I coach goalkeepers. So you need experience. He's been there. So it's Craig Gordon will stand there. And you've got to remember, Scotland are going to be part of an elite group, guys, that have opened both tournaments, the World Cup and the Euros. So that's a, there's millions going to be watching. So Angus Gunn should go out there and could be a rabbit in the headlights. Craig Gordon can go out there and he's already been in these kind of environments. So I think he'd be more comfortable. Still nervous, as every player is. Kenny knows that. You're still nervous. But once you get that first shot under your belt, you're in the game.
Well, we need to listen to the man. He coaches goalkeepers. Do you go along with that, Kenny?
Nope, Angus Gunn will play.
Yeah.
Nailed on. That's just... I can't disagree with things that you're saying about Craig Gordon in terms of his abilities, but Angus Gunn will play, no doubt about it. And by the way, Craig Gordon's not been to a major tournament either, so he's also, that would be a first experience for him in that type of environment. So it's but Angus Gunn will play. He's got the number one jersey. And now the question for me is a goalkeeper left out? Does he take four? And if there is going to be one left out, who it might be? You might find it might be Craig Gordon.
Angus Gunn, is he the undisputed number one for you, Jim?
I think he's the number one at this moment in time, but I do agree with Stevie's points in terms of, you know, I don't think it's that relevant that Craig Gordon hadn't played that many games. But Xander Clark started, obviously, last night. So, you know, again, it depends on how...
The fact that Xander Clark's been starting mainly over Craig Gordon for Hearts would suggest that Stephen Naismith thinks he's a better option than Craig Gordon at the moment.
Well, again, if you look, you know, managers invariably think, well, if you've not done anything wrong, the team's done well. Hearts had a very, very good league campaign. There's no doubt about that. And Xander Clark was instrumental and partly instrumental in how that was achieved. So the manager probably felt that there was, you know, it would be totally unfair to just drop him. They've got two good goalkeepers, Hearts, and that's the competition. Now Scotland have got options. But I'm with Kenny. I think Angus Gunn will play it. I think Stevie, I mean, you can pick any goalkeeper. There's not probably a goalkeeper in the world, Stephen, that hasn't had a howler, either a howler game or a few howling mistakes. Every player does it. When a goalkeeper does it, it's highlighted. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're Jordan Pickford or whether you're, you know, you're Angus Gunn. It happens, and it's about how they react to that and how they can, you know, how their mental strength is. That's the test of good goalkeepers. So I'm with Kenny. I think it will be Angus Gunn. But I wouldn't have any issue if Craig Gordon was thrown in there for me because of his experience, because, you know, he does have that presence. So again, me personally, I think it would be a 50-50 choice, but I do think that Steve Clark will make Angus Gunn as his choice.
Stevie?
Just to correct Kenny, I didn't say five major tournaments, I said big games. Remember, he played for Celtic, Kenny, and he's played in a lot of big Champions League games.
Yeah, okay, so right, neighbour, Stevie.
The big occasion, and obviously Jim made the point there, guys, the big occasion when you're playing as a defence and Jim's played defence, you need somebody behind you there that's going to be vocal and he's going to actually coach you all the way through what you want to do. Now, Germany, we've done it against France, obviously, Fadi's goal and things like that. I mean, Craig Gordon played in that goal that night.
Angus Gunn played in Scotland's win against Spain in this qualification campaign, didn't he? That's a pretty big win.
Different game, Andrew, because France battered Scotland after McFadden scored and Gordon built off save after save after save. I know what you're saying about not being playing regular, but Jim Leighton played every game at the qualifying for Euro 96. Andy Gorham never kicked a ball, and Andy Gorham got the whole tournament. That's my argument. So I know what you're saying there, but I think we need to go out there. We made a mistake in the last year as we played David Marshall every game. He got loved for the halfway line. That is a cardinal sin as a goalkeeper. He wouldn't have been anywhere near the rest of the games if... I mean, I was advising my manager, go, you need to get him off, mate. I mean, when that happens, your confidence goes. So that's what I mean. Not saying he done anything wrong, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, confidence as a goalkeeper, if you're sitting on the bench as a sub-goalkeeper and the guy that's keeping you at the team gets lobbed for the halfway line and you don't get a game, I think your writing's in the wall, boys.
I think, Stevie, you'll need to work on your positioning for your goalkeeper because that's the way the game's played. You can look at goalkeepers now, like 40 yards... up the pitch, you know, you see them all the time. Just look at any major game, the goalkeepers play that way now. So if you lose possession of the ball and someone's got the ability to execute
it, was just a ridiculous strike.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somebody's got the ability to
execute it. It was too high. It was way too high.
You see the
pitch, it was way too high. Like, it was a turnover. Yeah, it was a poor turnover. But
generally speaking, Kenny, goalkeepers are now more advanced, and you see it happening. It's not as rare as it used to be. It used to be once a season you would see a goalkeeper getting hit for the halfway line. Now you can see it, you know, half a dozen times a year because, as Kenny said, there's a turnover quickly. Yeah, in that particular occasion, David Marshall probably was, you know, maybe just a wee lapse of concentration. But nevertheless, it was a fantastic execution, and it still takes a lot to strike the ball from there. So yep. I think, again, you can pick any goalkeeper. As I said, there's not a goalkeeper out there that hasn't made an error or a couple of mistakes. It's just about how you recover from that, and how, and particularly in a big game. And you mentioned that Angus Gunn in the Spain game, you know, I mean, again, he had some terrific saves in that game. So he has got the confidence, the belief that he can play against the very best and get a result.
Well, thank you to Stevie. More calls 01419511025. But before we get to those, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, your chance to take on either Jim Duffy or Kenny Miller for the bragging rights for the signed ball as well. You know the script. 01419511025. Get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second hour of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller. Plenty of talk about Scotland's 2-0 win over Gibraltar last night. Looking ahead to Euro 2024. Before that, of course, there is that friendly at Hampden, the big send-off against Finland on Friday night. So we want to know your thoughts ahead of that, ahead of the tournament. Striking options in goal as well. Plenty to talk about, or maybe it's domestic football that still is on your mind. Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. But before we get back to that, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, Beat the Pundit. It's going to be Connor who's up against either Kenny or Jim. Who do you want, Connor?
Yeah, I want Kenny because I seen Kenny on Saturday at Darnley.
Oh, this is the guy he said he was going to phone. So I'm filling the car up with petrol, and I get somebody. I thought somebody was giving me abuse, so I was just trying to patch him. And then he's turned and said, "It's 1-1 me and you and Beat the Pundit." I went, "No, it's not. You've not beat me." He went, "I'm telling you, I phoned up last season, and then I phoned up this season. I end up 1-1. So I said, "Get yourself phoned Tuesday, and we'll have the decider."
The problem is there's a 50-50 chance.
Get the coin tossed.
It's going to be playing.
I'll toss the coin. It'll be heads for Kenny Miller, and heads tails for Jim Duffy.
I'll do a second one, shall we? Heads. I'll show that to the coin.
It might have been tails when I dropped it the first time, but you know what? It's Kenny Miller that you're going to be playing against, Connor. There you go. You got your wish. And the thing is, Kenny is unbeaten this season, 100% record.
That's why he's talking nonsense. He's not beat me.
No, he's got a good took off. I think it was last year, but
he's got fighting talk anyway.
Good stuff, Connor.
Love it. Go
all
for
the
it. Best.
Right, okay. We'll give Kenny some greatest hits radio in his ear. And he's giving me the nod. He can't hear me anymore. So, Connor, you know the rules. It's 30 seconds on the clock. Answer as many questions as you can in that time. And remember, you can pass as well. Is that all good?
That's good, mate.
Right. Let's do it. Name either scorer from last night's Scotland game against Gibraltar.
Christy.
Which former Rangers player started against England last night for Bosnia?
Katic.
Who was the top scorer in Euro 2024 qualifying?
McTominay.
True or false, the first ever Panenka penalty was scored in a final?
False.
Who does Tommy Conway play for?
Bristol City.
What colour is France's away kit?
Black.
Name any English side Steve Clarke has managed?
West Brom.
Who did Paris Saint-Germain sign Mbappe from?
Monaco.
Okay,
right. I bet him.
Already. I'll bring Kenny back in. Connor has already just said, "I've beaten him. I've beaten him already." He's not even heard you yet. Okay. He's that confident.
I think Kenny will get a full house here.
Okay, right. Let's see. Do you think so?
That's not great. If you're needing a full house to actually go and win, you must have done all right. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay. Right. Okay. We'll see you after this. Right. Let's go for it, Kenny. Name either scorer from last night's Scotland game against Gibraltar. Which former Rangers player started against England last night for Bosnia?
Katic.
Who was the top scorer in Euro 2024 qualifying?
McTominay.
True or false, the first ever Panenka penalty was scored in a final?
False.
Who does Tommy Conway play for?
Bristol City.
What colour is France's away kit?
White.
Name any English side Steve Clarke has managed?
West Brom.
Who did Paris Saint-Germain sign Mbappe from?
Monaco.
In what year did Inverness Cali Thistle win the Scottish Cup?
2015.
Okay, tell you what, you almost got through all 10 in the 30 seconds there. You got through 9 questions, which is almost unheard of, I think. Connor,
you're always rapid.
You're pretty confident, Connor, after you'd had your go. Are you still confident?
No, I'm no confident.
At least he's honest. I'll give him that. Let's go through them. Name either scorer from last night's Scotland game against Gibraltar. You both said Ryan Christie. 1-1. Which former Rangers player started against England last night for Bosnia and Herzegovina? It was Nikola Katic. You both got it. Was that a surprise to you? Did you know that he'd switched allegiances from Croatia?
No, I've seen the game. I was watching
beforehand.
Oh, it is actually a surprise, yeah, but I seen that. I never even thought of that. But obviously I was watching the game, so
Yeah, it was a Croatian. Did he get any caps for Croatia? Maybe an under-21 international when he was at Rangers, but has switched allegiances to Bosnia, played in that game against England. 2-2 between you two now. It was maybe the wording of the question that was a problem here.
Scotland.
Because it was who was the top scorer in Euro 2024 qualifying. Mm. You just both assumed it was Scotland. The Scottish top goal scorer, who it was Scott McTominay, but it was the overall top scorer, which was Romelu Lukaku. So it stays at 2-2. He got 14 goals in qualifying, double what Scott McTominay got. True or false, the first ever Panenka penalty was scored in a final. So it was a 50-50 shot. Mm. Averages would say that one of you would have got it, but you both went false. Mm. It was true. Euro 1976 final, Antonin Panenka winning goal in the shootout. So it remains 2-2. Mm. Who does Tommy Conway play for? Bristol City. Okay. You both got it. 3-3. What colour is France's away kit?
White.
Connor went for black. Kenny went for white. Kenny Miller is correct. He takes a 4-3 lead. Name any English side Steve Clarke has managed. You could have got Reading, West Brom. He also had a caretaker spell at Newcastle as well. You both got it correct. Kenny remains one ahead. Who did Paris Saint-Germain sign Mbappe from? You both said Monaco.
Wow, God, he's at it. This guy's at it.
So
that's another Christopher Faye show.
Kenny stays one ahead, but he did it in style because he got one more question. And in what year did Inverness Cali Thistle win the Scottish Cup? 2015 was correct. So what was that for Kenny? A 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for
five,
Kenny Miller, and a 5 for Connor. I tell you what, it was a really good effort, Connor.
Big effort. Try again next year, pal.
I'm in London and I was just walking to the streets and I thought I got a ball.
5's a good score.
That's a big score.
I mean, that's a good score. Normally that could take the prize.
Oh yes, definitely. I tell you what, now you just know that the next time you're on, Connor's going to be phoning in again because he's going to want to try and pull level.
That's me done for the season, Eric. Connor, unlucky, mate. Try again next year.
Good effort.
Well done, mate.
A thriller between Connor and Kenny Miller, but the sign ball stays in the studio. A 7-5 win for Kenny Miller. 01419511025 to give us a call. You can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB as well. One of the questions on Beat the Pundit was about who Tommy Conway plays for. That is because he must be the favourite now to get called into the squad. Steve Clarke was asked about him, wasn't he? He said last night that, you know, he's definitely got an eye on him, and he scored last night for Scotland's under-21s against Turkey. Should we hear a bit more about him? He's maybe not a player that people know too much about. Tommy Conway playing for Bristol City in the English Championship. He's played a few Scotland under-21 games, but earlier on I caught up with Bristol City commentator Toby Osborne to get the lowdown on Tommy Conway and what we can expect. Well, Toby, thanks for taking the time to speak to me. First of all, a lot of hype up here about Tommy Conway at the moment. Can you tell us what kind of striker he is?
He's a different kind of player to that of Lyndon Dykes. Very quick, plays off the shoulder of the last defender, can play in a two or as a kind of focal point between two wide men as well. And he's just very clinical in front of goal. If he's presented with a good opportunity, most likely he will put it away. But equally capable of a very sort of intricate and creative finish as well. Not to say his all-round game isn't there too. He's good at holding up the ball and linking up play, but typically plays on the last man and can use his pace really to get in pockets of space and hopefully bag a goal or two.
So just looking, he scored 12 goals this season for Bristol City, a few for Scotland under-21s as well, one against Turkey last night. What's he like as a character though? Because Steve Clarke is quite big on that as well.
He's so popular among his teammates. I've been lucky enough to sort of commentate on a few games through my job as well with him. And he's lovely to everybody, very respectful. But he's incredibly passionate about the game. He'll give Scotland everything, a lot of heart. He scored certain goals this season after a bit of time on the sidelines, and there's been stuff going on off the pitch, and he's then followed it up with a goal, and you can see the passion. He's been in tears at times, you know, through his celebrations as well, and very emotional. So he's a player that will give absolutely everything, every last drop of energy, and will non-stop be running for the badge, basically. So I think he'll prove to be a really popular character, and he'll establish himself with the senior players pretty quickly. It also helps, of course, providing they're both there. Ross McCrory, his teammate now, who's of a similar character, will be there to hopefully greet him if he does join up with the senior squad. So that's a positive too.
I suppose the big question now is, if he's selected, can he deliver at the Euros? Is he capable of scoring goals on the biggest stage?
He could well be the answer to Scotland's goal-scoring conundrum, if you like. You know, if you, with no disrespect to Lyndon Dykes, who of course has been very loyal to Scotland and the manager as well, I think if you watch the two of them in the Championship this season, you'd be equally, if not more, excited about Tommy Conway's chances of getting goals at the Euros. He'll cause defenders real headaches. He's very, very quick, and he's non-stop in terms of his work ethic as well. And providing he gets good service, I do think he is the man in front of goal you want. He could well be the surprise package. It's already an uphill task, I know, for Scotland in terms of the group and that opening game. But I guess, from my perspective, I wouldn't say Scotland are any weaker with his addition to the squad. Having to replace Lyndon Dykes, I'd say he's just going to give you something probably more exciting in terms of his pace and work ethic. And he'll have that fearlessness as well. He's a confident guy. He's confident in his ability. So I think he could deliver on the big stage. And as a fan base down here in Bristol, supporting Bristol City, we'll all be seriously behind him and praying that he can show up for Scotland. I have no doubt he will, and hopefully the Scotland fans will come to love him as well.
That was Toby Osborne there, who's a Bristol-based commentator working on a lot of Bristol City games. Certainly a glowing review.
I think he was describing Fernando Torres in his prime.
Unbelievable.
Off the shoulder, he can link up, he just scores every type of goal possible. Listen, let's hope his assessment is pretty accurate. If Tommy Conway gets the
near
call,
that, I mean, you would be, Stevie Clarkson doing his job, get him in the team. You know, I think Toby was mentioned there. You know, I think he becomes a fan's favourite when you work as hard as he's done. I've seen a couple of clips of, you know, the highlights and stuff like that, you know, of him, and he does work hard for the team. I think a little bit might depend on Ben Doak. You mentioned it earlier on, if he, you know, doesn't take part in the game on Friday, and hasn't played since December, that might be just a risk too much to take him, and therefore you're looking for someone with pace, a different type of striker, and Tommy Conway might then get the nod, you know. But if Ben Doak is fit to play, he might have to wait a little bit until this campaign's over.
01419511025 is the number Richard in Pennycook has dialed. Richard, what did you take away from the game last night?
I think it was a good game for Scotland. Shea Adams coming along and scoring, and Ryan Christie. Shea Adams' volley was caught lovely. It was just right into the top corner. We had a brilliant game. Now with Finland. Wait, who is it? Wait, I think it's Finland.
Yeah, Finland on Friday night.
I think we'll put up a good fight there. I think we'll get a win. And I think with Lyndon Dykes being out, I think it's tough, but I think we'll still put up a fight in Germany.
Yeah, just on that Shea Adams goal, it was a really good strike, wasn't it? Good cross from John McGinn and caught it really well.
It was a wonderful strike, you know, and again, it was no surprises that the goals came from the left-hand side of your team. We were, even in the first half, a lot of the chances were getting created, link up through Shankland and Robertson on that side of the pitch. Even going back into qualifiers, our left side of your pitch is really strong with Tierney, Robertson, McGinn normally kind of gets onto that side as well, McGregor, they all link up and rotate really, really well. So we've got a really strong left hand side of the pitch, and again, great cross from McGinn, and he just catches it as sweet as you'll see a volley caught, you know, and absolutely flew into the net, almost took the net off the goal. It was a really, really good goal. Great for Shea Adams as well. Again, I think maybe kind of carrying a little injury towards the end of the season, so that'll be good for him to come on and get a run out at the end of the game. He'll probably start
on Friday night, I would imagine. But again, getting goals for strikers going into a tournament, it's just going to build the confidence.
Richard, I hope you don't mind me saying, I would guess from your voice you're maybe a bit of a younger Scotland fan. Just how excited are you for this upcoming tournament and what's to come? Because it's maybe the type of thing that you haven't really experienced before, and it being, you know, Scotland at a big tournament, all taking place in you know, in one country, a traditional tournament.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah, I think it's brilliant for Scotland, as and I've not seen them play in the Euros. I think it'll be brilliant, like I said, brilliant atmosphere from all Scotland fans playing and like playing Germany and Switzerland and all that. I think we'll have a great tournament. We're a brilliant team of boys, and like I think Scott McTominay, John McGinn, they'll do absolutely class in the midfield for Scotland. But I think we'll do well, like I said, and we'll have a brilliant.
Are those the two players that you think can really make the difference for Scotland? If Scott McTominay and John McGinn are on form, you feel that they could be the ones that could get Scotland a big result?
Yeah, because like I said, Scott McTominay, he helped us so much in the group. Against Spain away, I don't know how that free kick got chopped off. I think it should have stayed on. But he had a brilliant group stage, and John McGinn, he's just a brilliant guy.
It's good to hear, you know, Richard's enthusiasm for the national team as well, because I think maybe over the last couple of decades there would have been a lot of Scotland fans, probably my age, that grew up watching Scotland. It wasn't very inspiring at all. You weren't seeing Scotland get to any major tournaments, and it was a tough watch. And, you know, Richard, he sounds full of promise, full of hope that Scotland can go into this tournament, a tournament that he's not experienced before, and, you know, see something exciting, see something that's going to make him really happy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there was a lot of good performance from Scotland in those couple of decades that you mentioned, but unfortunately we just seemed to fall at the final hurdle a few times. Sometimes, I say, there was just a little bit of misfortune, other times it was just down to the you know, the quality of the group we were in. But it's great that, you know, young fans like Richard can get excited about the Euros, you know, and can get behind Scotland, because, you know, for too long, you know, we were too negative and, you know, too frustrated about the failures, and we highlighted too much about it. But in the last, you know, few years, obviously qualifying in England and then now in Germany, and you know, there's nothing better than the, you know, the school holidays come on, you know, you get the tournament. I know it starts a wee bit before some of the kids finish, but it's a brilliant summer. It's something to look forward to. You get behind your team. It's something to talk to about with your friends. You know, I think it's great that we get the young fans, and they're seeing, you know, that you can achieve success being a Scotland fan and playing for Scotland, and not just in football, but I think that then, you know, follows on to other sports and gets you interested in sport and gets that adrenaline going. And the more younger people that get involved in sport, whether it's as a participant or a fan, as I said, the better for me. So yeah, terrific to hear the enthusiasm coming from Richard there.
Are you able to get over to Germany at all, Richard, or is it just going to be a case of watching it on the TV back at home?
No, I don't think I will, because I'm going on holiday, but I'll still be watching the games with, like, my family.
What a time, though. I remember going on holiday with my family, and you were watching the major tournament. Scotland weren't in them at that point, but what a time it was. But to be able to go on holiday, sit with your family, watch the Euros, that'll be quite a summer for Richard, won't it?
Absolutely will be. You know, it's, I mean, this team have gave everybody hope, you know, and full enthusiasm over the last kind of 4 or 5 years. Obviously qualifying for Euro 2020 again, I felt we never done ourselves justice in that tournament,
especially after the first game.
Absolutely,
joining England and doing so well,
and we're going to be far better off for that experience, and even for the games and all the caps that this squad have gained over the last 3 years since the tournament. So it's yeah, we're going in good form.
Well, thank you to Richard. Make sure to phone us again sometime soon. We want to hear your thoughts on the Euros over the summer. Make sure to give us a call as well if you're listening in. 0141 951 1025. We've got a teaser set up for these two next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can give us a call 0141 951 1025 or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. We were just talking to Richard on the phone there about You know, he's going on holiday with his family. He'll be watching the Euros there. Lion 1985 has tweeted us in saying, I remember when I was 12, I went to Blackpool with my family during Euro 96. It was just England stuff everywhere. That's bad, bad planning, isn't it, for the family holiday?
Yeah, you go to England. I remember going to, I think we were in Portugal at the time. My daughter was young, and there was the one where David Seaman got lobbed by Brazil.
Mm-hmm. Ronaldinho, yeah.
Ronaldinho. And Kim had the Brazilian top on. We were in a bar, and it was probably 90% English at that time. So, yeah, you've got to be careful which bars you pick and choose when you go to these type of games. But for Richard to be with his family and watching the games, yeah, I mean, it's something that we haven't, it's not been as common for Scotland fans over the years. As Kenny mentioned, 2020 was the last time, but before that, 1998. So yeah, great for all the young fans now to, if that is the occasion, it's something to cherish, because it doesn't happen that often.
Graham is hanging on the line, but I will set this teaser up for the two of you first.
The Full Time Teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Thanks to the Crazy Pony for this one. I think this is going to take a bit of thinking from you two as well. Can you name all nine of Scotland capped players to have played for a European Cup / Champions League winners from outside of Britain? So teams that have won a European Cup or a Champions League that are not from Britain, and a Scottish player that's been capped by Scotland has played
Paul
for.
Paul Lambert.
Oh, that's my first
there
one.
There we
the
go.
List. First one on the
Good
list.
Start. Paul Lambert, of course, Borussia Dortmund.
Sorry, go and read that question again.
So, can you name all nine of the
John
capped
Collins.
Scotland players? John Collins, no. Can you name all nine of the capped Scotland players that have played for a European Cup / Champions League winning team from outside Britain? So they didn't need to play for them at the time they won it.
Yeah.
They've just played for them and have been capped by Scotland, and the team is outside Britain.
Archibald.
Yes, Steve Archibald, correct. Barcelona.
Murdo McLeod.
Murdo McLeod, there we go. Also Borussia Dortmund. That's a good start. Remember, you can send in your questions to fulltime at Clyde1.com. So you have three: Paul Lambert, Murdo McLeod, and you have Steve Archibald. Good start on that one. Right, Graham is also in Pennycook, like Richard was a few moments ago. Graham, what was your take on the game last night, or what you've heard on the show tonight?
I mean, I thought Scotland were, I mean, they were dominant, which I expected. We should have had more goals in the first half, but it wasn't with Gibraltar. But my main point was about Lauren Shankland, because last night after the game, I went on social media, probably a bad idea, and I saw a lot of people giving Shankland a lot of sticks, and he's not good enough to lead the line for Scotland, he's not Scotland class, and I just don't agree with that at all. Last night he didn't have a lot of chances, but I thought his hold-up play was really good, I thought his link-up was really good. But there seems to be this thing, and I know it's a club rivalry, but there seems to be this thing where folk are desperate for him to fail when he plays for Scotland. I don't understand. When he pulls on that Scotland top, you've got to back him. But the stick that I saw for him last night, a guy that scored 31 goals a season, I just found it crazy. Now, I've seen a few folks saying that he can't lead the line against Germany. Again, I don't agree. I thought against Holland, yes, he probably should score the chance he had, but overall, his game was very impressive. So I just think the stick that Shankland's been getting since last night, he couldn't win last night. If he scores three or four, folk will say it's only Gibraltar. He doesn't score, folk slate him, so he couldn't win last night. But I just think the stick that I've seen him given, for me, is ridiculous.
Listen, I think there's been so much media coverage surrounding Lauren Shankland, whether he plays, whether he doesn't play. Even when he gets a nod against Holland, you're thinking, right, he's going to be up against Van Dijk. You know, he's going to be one of the best, if not the best, centre-back in the world. On that night, I actually thought he played really, really well. I have to disagree with Graham now. I thought last night he wasn't at the levels that what he's shown. Forget chances, forget goals. I didn't think that his hold-up play was as good as what he is capable of. That might have just fed into the whole game scenario, how it was. It was low key, there was zero energy. Again, the level of opposition wasn't great. We had missed a lot of chances. And listen, there was just not a good feel to it, just watching the game. But I believe Lauren Shankland is good enough to lead the line for Scotland. I've said it the whole season, I've said it for the last couple of seasons now. I don't think he will lead the line against Germany. That's not to say he won't get the nod against a Hungary or a Switzerland. And there's one thing for sure, when Scotland are going to need a goal at some stage, which they will throughout this tournament, Lauren Shanklin's going to be the guy that everybody's going to be looking to, and Steve Clarke will be looking to him to come off the bench and impact the game the way he did against Georgia when he came on for a limited number of minutes and got the equalising goal late on. So he's going to have a big part to play in this tournament, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, Graham, the difficulty you have is, as you mentioned there, you went to social media. And, you know, we're notorious now for just, you know, deciding someone's fate in a very, very short period of time now. The other thing is, where are the options? You know, we've lost Lyndon Dykes. We don't have a plethora of top, you know, world-class strikers, or any world-class strikers for that matter. And Lauren Shanklin is had a phenomenal season, a terrific player. He's worked so hard to get where he's at, the level he's at now, and he's achieved the success he's had personally. A terrific boy, great attitude, and an all-round top striker. But we are, I mean, if you go down that route, you know, against Norway in the campaign, there were so many people jumped on it very, very quickly to criticise Steve Clarke when he made the substitutions. And the substitutions, you know, ultimately gave us the points that got us across the line with the manager. So, yeah, I mean, people are very, very quick to judge players in any given game. But I just think you just have to put that aside. Steve Clarke will, you know, look at his whole core of a group and decide which players he thinks are going to be instrumental in getting those results. And I'm sure Lauren Shanklin will have a major part to play in the tournament. Whether he starts the first game against Germany, I think is really irrelevant. It's a totally different game. You would expect Germany, being the host nation, the top seed, to dominate it. So he might need a different type of player anyway. And then he might look at the next game and think, okay, I maybe need a different type of striker, who knows? But I think he will play a significant part in the tournament, regardless of whether he starts the first game or not.
Graham, from what you've seen of Lauren Shanklin over the past couple of seasons, are you confident that if he was given a run in the Scotland team, he could become, you know, a prolific goal scorer, or that focal point that Steve Clarke needs?
Absolutely. I mean, he scored 59 goals in two seasons for Arch. You can't take that away from him. He's been absolutely brilliant. And some of the goals he's got as well. You know, I've seen a few folks saying, oh, he's only scored in tap-ins or penalties. Well, that's nonsense.
He scored three
penalties all season, and a lot of his goals have been absolutely phenomenal. He's the best striker I've seen at Hearts since Robbo. And I've got no doubt, if Steve Clarke picked Shanklin first game against Germany, he would do a really good job. And I think, you know, even last night, like I said, he couldn't win last night, but I was watching his movement, and I thought his movement was good. He had a few really good bits of link-up play. He wasn't the only one that maybe wasn't great last night, but again, it was Gibraltar. It was a nothing game. I don't read too much into that. That's the first 90 minutes he's got under his belt for Scotland. But I just think the stick that he's getting after last night, a nothing game, I just think it's a bit over the top. I generally think if he starts against Germany, he'll do a really good job. Last night, what chances did he really get? Nothing. He had nothing created for him.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I have to agree with you on your point, Graham, about that he is good enough to lead the line. I do. Last night, I don't think there was any real standout performer in a Scotland jersey, to be honest. He says he was part of the link-up that led to the James Forrest chance. It was down the left-hand side with Andy Robertson. Again, that's what I think his all-round game is very, very good. I don't think it was very, very good last night. No. I do think it was of a higher level against Holland, when he probably, again, everything we've talked about, that everything's going to be heightened when you go to this major tournament. You're going to be full. Not saying they weren't concentrated last night. By the way, even the Lyndon Dykes scenario, maybe that's playing in the back of their minds. Mm. One of their mates has just got injured a few days before.
Well, Andy Robertson
a major
kind
tournament.
Of alluded to that, didn't he?
Yeah, well,
the clip we had earlier on, he said that essentially it's something that they've thought about. They just kind of want to get to Germany now. He's almost saying, you know, we don't really want to train or play any games. We just wish we were teleported to Germany playing that first game.
But you need to get prepped and you need to play the games. But you could say that could have played a little bit part, and maybe at the back of their mind thinking that, again, because of how the game is, and they're maybe just not right fully match at it based on the whole surroundings and the opposition and everything that goes into it. So I don't look at that game last night and start ruling out. Again, probably the first mistake you have made, Graham, is looking on the social media, because you're very rarely will you see somebody getting high praise. You know, you're going to see somebody getting a lot of criticism. Lauren Shanklin's good enough.
Your name on there recently, Ken.
Absolutely not, because I know it'll just be negative stuff. So he's more than good enough to lead the line for Scotland. At the moment, it is
he's one of two strikers, I just think, in this opening game. If he is given the nod, by the way, I'm absolutely fine with that. I do think Shea Adams will get the nod for the game, though.
I'm interested in that point that Kenny made about, you know, other players maybe being affected by Lyndon Dyke's injury, Andy Robertson alluding to it as well. Is that the type of thing that would unnaturally just be a bit more caution from some of the players, whether it is, you know, at the front of their mind, whether it is subconscious, that you see a player landing awkwardly in training and all of a sudden that's them out of what would be, you know, one of the biggest few weeks of their life?
Yeah, I think initially it can be, but as you just said there, it was an innocuous accident at training. So that can happen any time. You have to get your head around it. If it happens maybe in a competitive game, if somebody does something, you know, lunges into a tackle or stretches and, you know, it's a real intense game, you might think, oh, well, that could happen. We need to come off the bridle a little bit and just rein it in. But that wasn't the case. It was a relatively low-key training session, so that was a freakish accident, sadly. You're actually more likely to get injured not being up
right
to speed,
at it, yep.
You know, right
100%.
At it, you know, when you get in, you dip your toe in, or you know, you try and protect yourself a little bit. It's as close to getting to up to top speed as the better, because that's natural. When you become unnatural in your movement, unnatural in your reflexes, that's when, you know, you're more likely to pick up an injury. So I think because it happened just so soon before, you know, the game, that's probably in the back of their minds. But I think they'll have time to go over it now, Andrew, and then get on with this game. They know now that you have to go into the game as close to 100% as you possibly can, and get yourself up to speed to give yourself the best opportunity to perform in the tournament.
Graham, moving away from Shanklin, but staying with the striking options that Steve Clarke has or doesn't have with Lyndon Dykes going, how do you see that playing out over the next few days? Do you see Steve Clarke calling in someone else?
Yeah, I think he will, and it certainly sounds like it might be Tommy Conway. Now, I don't know if that's going to be a risk or not, because he's not had any game time, but I can understand why he wants to bring somebody else in. I mean, I think had he been fit, I think Dykes probably would have started against Germany, but as it is, as much as I love Shanklin to start, I think he probably will go with Che Adams. But, I mean, I know that the squad's getting cut on Friday. I know that's probably two going to go out. I don't think he'll take four goalkeepers. I can see maybe Liam Kelly getting dropped out and possibly a Ryan Jack. But to be honest, I think the squad's actually fine as it is. We didn't have McTominay yesterday, who's a big, big miss. But I generally am probably more confident than I should be, even though we haven't won in the last seven games. I think Scotland will get out of the group. I think we'll finish second in the group. I've said that weeks ago. I think Scotland will get out of the group.
I saw you shaking your head at the Ryan Jack suggestion there, Kenny. Yeah. Don't agree?
Nope. No midfielders will get left up. There's eight midfielders, and it's going to be a defenders. 11
just,
defenders.
Just on pure numbers, does it's it just, look as if it'll be a defenders. Central defender?
Absolutely.
If there is one to be left out.
And it might be two. You might have two defenders getting left out. I do not think a midfielder will get left out.
And we're still to get an update on Liam Cooper's injury. He limped off last night as well.
They so said that, it was a bang, though. You know, they said it was knee on knee. We've seen it, and it did look like a heavy one. It could have just been just above the knee, bottom of the thigh. It could be kind of dead leg type thing, which he might not feature now on Friday because it's so soon after the game. But it did look like it. But Steve Clarke did say it was a bang more than a twist or lander. I mean, they always do the test of the knee to check the ligaments and everything. But he said after it was a bang. So you're kind of hopeful that'll be fine.
Graham's point on only taking three goalkeepers, is that simple for you?
You know, I think in anybody's mind, had there not been four goalkeepers in the squad, we wouldn't even be thinking about taking four goalkeepers. But when you listen to what's the way Steve Clarke's talked about it, and he's went to so much length to describe why you do need maybe an extra goalkeeper. And then one of the biggest things for me was he says he's not going to take a player that maybe doesn't deserve to be there over a player that he feels does. That again for me is kind of suggesting into the fact that maybe he feels the four guys deserve to go. And if you're talking about maybe looking at calling other people into it who may be uncapped, maybe with the under-21s and or whatever, he may feel that's a bit unfair on the guys who may, in his own words, he feels deserve to go. So I don't think you need to, but I think he might take four goalkeepers.
On Ryan Jack, both Steve Clarke and John Carver have mentioned the fact publicly that Ryan Jack missed the last Euros because of injury.
Yeah.
Does that seem the type of thing that they would, you know, actively bring up themselves if he was maybe one of the ones on the chopping block? It might be a bit harsh to say, well, you know, he's earned his place and he missed the last Euros, and then all of a sudden he's out of this one as well because they've decided against it. Does then bringing that up maybe suggest that he's got a good chance of going?
Yeah, well, you don't normally get a sympathy vote for your manager. Manager doesn't normally base decisions on sympathy or in a previous tournament. But he's always done well when he's played for Scotland. I actually think he's done better playing for Scotland sometimes than he has at Rangers. I think whether it's the system, whether it's the way they play, I'm with Kenny in that one. I think that it's unlikely that we don't have that many midfield players. I think it'll be unlikely. I think about other areas that you'll look at, particularly defensively, perhaps a goalkeeper. But again, they've went out of their way to explain the reasons why that they've included four goalkeepers at this time. I think if it was a 23-man squad, I don't think there'd be any doubt that there'd only be three goalkeepers, but 26.
If you've got a 23-man squad, which is what it'd be, three goalkeepers, eight defenders, eight midfielders and four strikers or four attacking players. That's the way the squad, even with the extra additions now, what you've got an extra goalkeeper, you've got all kinds of extra defenders in there, and the midfield stay the same. I think you would have taken eight midfielders no matter what the squad size is. I don't think Ryan Jack gets cut. I think it's more going to be at the back end of the field where the cuts would be.
Well, thank you to Graham. Back to this teaser for you two. I don't know if you've been thinking about it or not. Nine players that have been capped by Scotland and played for a club outside of Britain that won a European Cup or Champions League, like the three that you've got: Paul Lambert at Borussia Dortmund, Murdo McLeod, Borussia Dortmund, Steve Archibald at Barcelona.
Rambo.
Alan McInally.
McInally. Bayern Munich. There you go.
Joe Jordan.
AC Milan. There we go. Right. We've got plenty to be getting on with. And let me tell you about this as well, because Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Roger Hanna and Stephen Mill are getting ready for Germany with a new podcast, Euro Stories with the Scottish Sun. They'll be speaking to Scotland players that have played at previous tournaments, so 1992, 96, and of course Euro 2020 as well. Episode 1 is available now, as the guys speak to Motherwell fullback Stephen O'Donnell about Euro 2020, and he spoke about that big chance he had against England.
I think the weight was coming down, the nerves were more busy, and then when I caught it, I went, oh, headlights, headline, sorry. It was some strike, I think. It was some kind of iconic moment to a point for myself, but if it had been in, it would have been also different.
Yeah, absolutely.
I might have walked off.
So
if it had gone in, you wouldn't be sitting here with us.
You'd be
writing your own checks.
Exactly.
Yeah, Scotland's Euro Stories with the Scottish Sun. Get it where you get your podcasts or on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's YouTube channel, and head to clydeone.com now for the chance to win a state-of-the-art projector and a barbecue so you can enjoy the games during the summer. Remember, stay ahead of the game with the Scottish Sun Sport at thescottishsun.co.uk.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and there is breaking squad news out of the Scotland camp. There is a statement on the Scottish national team Twitter. It says, ahead of Friday's match against Finland, Steve Clarke has called Tommy Conway into his squad. However, that is not the end of it. Sadly, Ben Doak has withdrawn from the Euro 2024 squad through injury. It goes on to say, we know we'll see you entertaining crowds at Hampden in a Scotland shirt soon. So good news for Tommy Conway, but that will be devastating news for Ben Doak. We talked about him earlier on, whether he would get a run out, but clearly just isn't fit enough at this point. I don't know whether it's a re-emergence of his injury he had. He has been back in training for a while, but Ben Doak will not be going to the Euros with Scotland.
Listen, I think it's really disappointing. Listen, he'll be gutted, innocent, and I think he will get more, he'll definitely get more opportunities, but I'm really disappointed because of what he could bring to the squad. You know, we've talked about why it's a good thing for him to get involved, his abilities, but his lightning pace, it's something we're not blessed with in our squad. And I was really, really excited to see him make an impact in these games against Germany, against Hungary and Switzerland. So, again, firstly, devastated for the boy because it would have been a brilliant experience for him, first experience away with the national team. But just as a fan, actually disappointed that we're going to be missing his qualities out of the squad.
Because Scotland were needing an extra option on top of, what we already had in Shankland and Adams and Doak. People were saying that there needed to be another option. There has been another option, but with another one, are we left with the same issue that is there another gap there?
Yeah, it's another unknown aspect on Tommy Conway. We heard Toby speaking earlier on, and he was waxing lyrical about him, absolutely, saying that he felt he was sensational for Bristol City. He's played at a good level. He's done well this year. I think everybody will be, you know, will be really disappointed that Ben didn't get an opportunity to be involved in Friday night to see where his fitness was. But we did mention during the programme, Andrew, that we felt that Tommy Conway, probably a door would open if Ben Doak sadly didn't make it, and that's the case now. So yeah, really disappointed for young Ben Doak, but he's you know, it was probably always a big risk anyway, the fact that he hadn't played any competitive football since December. But nevertheless, he's good that there's a new manager went into Liverpool, so that can sometimes be difficult for a young player, because he was on the radar, he was in Jurgen Klopp's thoughts and eyes, and he knew about him and he had him included. Now he has to start again and try and impress the new manager to see whether he can get involved in the first team squad, which is always going to be difficult at a club like Liverpool. But for Tommy Conway, brilliant. You know, it is a surprise package. We always like to see young emerging talent coming through. Toby was saying he was quick, he was direct, he was lively, he puts defenders under pressure.
Rarely so, misses.
Yeah, he misses his car in front of goal. So, you know, he had all the attributes he felt that needed to be an impressive attribute, an impressive addition to the Scotland setup. So let's see if we can get maybe 45 minutes or at least 30 minutes under his belt on Friday night against Finland and make a good impression.
I'm sure it'll be hard for him to see it now, but the silver lining for Ben Doak is that he's only 18. Mm-hmm. And the hope that is these experiences will hopefully come around again at some point in the future. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's missed this one, but with Scotland going to the last two Euros, he'll be hoping that he can be parts of Scotland squads that will be going to major tournaments in the future. And he's at least had that experience over the last week of being in and around the team. Steve Clark's had a closer look at him. He's felt like a part of the senior squad for the first time.
And it's not just about him going there. He could have a big part to play in us getting there, mm-hmm. you know, because the age he's at and the qualities that he's got and the big player that everybody's hoping he's going to be. So, and the positive thing is they've made this early call, you know, that you're not going away and then something maybe happens next week once the squad's been named or even later on. So Steve Clark's going to have a full complement of players available to him. He's not going to be maybe down one or two. So that's another positive. But like you say, there'll be plenty of opportunities for him. I don't think at this moment that will be any consolation to him, because at 18 with very limited kind of first team game time to get that opportunity, and that's as a fan, I was really, really excited to see him going and terrorising people with that pace and that movement. So disappointing, but like you say, the opportunity opens up for Tommy Conway, who might have been in the squad anyway. I still think now we're looking at right, we maybe need now we've got the striker addressed. Maybe there's another space in there for another attacking player.
Do you think with the time scale, it's the decision needs to be made by the 7th. Could you see Steve Clark still bringing someone else in?
But we're still going to have the decision between now and Friday anyway. If Ben Doak had still been in the squad, yeah, Tommy Conway's right there. I think now there's still a discussion now. Right, okay, well, there's now three strikers. Mm. Is there a spot for another attacking player? You know, we've went through the numbers. We're probably
like
still
a Danny Armstrong.
Like this and that. That's a player that a few people or a Ryan Fraser. You know, Ryan Fraser is a player who has been about the squad and he's had a good season at Southampton. For me, a player like Armstrong, who people are kind of mentioning, could he maybe be someone, an uncapped player getting the call? He can play left wing back, he can play right wing back, he could play on either side if we do need to change. Because I think in this tournament, at some point, we will be playing 4-3-3 and an in-game change based on we need to go and get a goal or we need to do something. But hopefully we're up and we don't need to maybe actually put six at the back. But I think at some point, we may need a different attacking option. And I think his flexibility in terms of left back, left wing back, right wing back, left wing, right wing, and he's clever enough to play inside in one of these two positions off the striker. I don't think it's the worst shout that his name would get mentioned. Because by the way, there's not a lot of guys that you can think of that maybe fall into it. Had a wonderful season at Kilmarnock, who had a wonderful season as a team as well. So it's not a bad shout.
Maybe a few players, maybe cancelling holidays, looking at flights home.
Well, I'm looking at cancelling Florida by on Monday if any bodies drop out.
Yeah, I think that there will be, you know, conversations with maybe managers, whether it be a Derek McInnes or whatever it happened to be, maybe just to put someone on the alert that, you know, the services might be. I mean, you've also got to remember, as you mentioned there, Andrew, a few minutes ago, we've got a game in Friday. We hope that everyone comes through 100%, but invariably, you know, there's a little, you know, it could be a tight hamstring. It could be something as simple as that, but that could be a 2 to 4 week injury, which means that you're not available for the tournament or the start of the tournament. So there's possibilities that one or two players might be thinking, wait a minute, I may have to just, you know, not say unpack your suitcase, but just hold off a little bit to see whether I'm required or not.
It'll be quite an amazing feeling for Tommy Conway, won't it?
Because incredible.
Playing for the under-21s last night against Turkey, but when the original provisional squad was put out, knowing that he wasn't a part of it, he probably wouldn't have really had it in his mind that it was a possibility he'd be going to Germany. I know Steve Clarke had said the under-21s would be his standby squad, but do you think anyone in that squad would have really thought, oh, there's still a good chance or a decent chance I might be involved?
It would only have come through injury, obviously, so I don't think you would be sitting there praying that somebody got injured, but that we've not got a lot of strikers to actually choose from, you know. So the fact that one's dropped out injured, it did become the next name that everybody was looking at to see. Because by the way, there was chat that he could have been in the squad anyway. So he's someone who missed out that's actually done a decent enough job with the 21. So it is the next natural step up. He's had a decent enough season at Bristol in the Championship, which is a good level. It's a level that Lyndon Dykes has played at. So there is a comparison you can make there. But he does
Shea
bring
Adams
different
well.
Qualities. Shea Adams as well. What we've now got is the profile of the striker is what we had with Linda. I think when you looked at the three strikers we had, we've got the goal scorer, the all-rounder, which is, for me, is actually probably the best striker, Lauren Shankland. You've got Shea Adams, who, again, is playing at a better level. He's had good experience in the national and scored big goals. Can run, can work probably a little bit harder, can run faster. And you've got this kind of target man, Lyndon Dykes, who everybody's talked about getting up, making his sell a nuisance against any defender, by the way, that he's ever played against, when his fair share of hairs, bringing other people into play. So we missed that profile, but listen, what an opportunity for Tommy Conway.
Yeah, just to recap that breaking news, Tommy Conway into Scotland's Euro 2024 squad as it stands. Ben Doak has dropped out through injury. You have work to do on this teaser. Can you name the 9 players that have been capped for Scotland and have also played for a team that has won a European Cup or Champions League that are from outside of Britain? You have Paul Lambert, Alan McInally, Murdo McLeod, Steve Archibald and Joe Jordan.
We know somebody played for Marseille, but we can't get
Stephen Fletcher. Stephen Fletcher. Had a loan spell there. The other two both played for the same club, a German club. I'm going to have to give you the club. I'm in a Hamburg.
Let's get this one. This must be.
It's on the tip of your tongue there.
I know, I just went to say
same initials as one of the other guys, Murdo McLeod.
It's
former Aberdeen manager, former Motherwell manager.
Matt McGee.
Matt McGee. And this McGee, one is a defender, early Steve Clarke era, red hair, came through at Rangers, went to Hamburg.
David Bates.
There you go. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thanks to Jim Duffy and Kenny Miller. Gordon Duncan is back tomorrow.